Hi everyone, I'm Jared Golub.
And I'm Julia Karen.
And welcome to this week's edition of the Washington Bullpen.
The reason behind the name change is that the Annapolis podcast, hosted by Molly Alcon and Aaron Rosa, is called the Annapolis Bullpen, and they take a look at more local politics. You should definitely check them out. But we figured we should keep it streamlined, all have the same name, so...
On this week's episode of the Washington Bullpen, we're going to be talking about the State of the Union, which took place on Tuesday. We're going to get you some of the Maryland representatives' reactions to that.
We're talking the Nunes memo, what it is, what's happening, and then we're talking a little sports.
And after that, we're going to hit you with another Behind the Bureau. This time, we're going to be talking to Hannah Yasharoff about Maryland Representative John Delaney, who has already announced his bid for the 2020 presidency. So stay tuned for that. Up first, the State of the Union. President Trump's first. Don't get confused. Last year's speech was an address to a joint session of Congress. It was not a State of the Union. And the message was largely one of unification and bipartisanship.
Well, it tried to be a message of unification and bipartisanship. I was in the press gallery tweeting my fingers off, and there were many points in his speech where you could hear audible noes hissing from members of Congress, and that's a lie from some of the Dems at some of the remarks that he made, which I thought was pretty fascinating. That didn't stop Donald Trump from tweeting about it, quote, "Thank you for all the nice compliments and reviews on the State of the Union speech. 45.6 million people watched, the highest number in history. Fox News beat every other network for the first time ever, with 11.7 million people tuning in, delivered from the heart, exclamation point."
So as you can see, the president is a little misguided here. This is not true. George Bush's 2003 State of the Union has the most in history, with 62 million viewers. If you count addresses to joint sessions of Congress, Bill Clinton's 1993 speech has the most, with 69 million viewers. That information is per the Nielsen Corporation.
Obviously, another thing that he tried to tout was that his tax cuts were the largest in history. And a simple fact check says that's not true. Reaganomics, Reagan's tax cuts in the 80s, it turns out, were the highest tax cuts in American history. There's a big moment where Trump had mentioned the lowest unemployment rate for Hispanics and for African Americans, and the Black caucus sat there and just did not let up. They didn't say anything. They just simply sat there with unamused faces on, as did many of the Democrats for most of the speech.
The Black caucus also protested Trump's State of the Union in another way. All of their members wore kente cloths to the address, which is a traditional African garment.
They weren't the only ones who were protesting. 13 Democratic reps didn't show up at all. And that's the largest protest of a State of the Union in history. One of Nixon's almost came close. Aside from that, there wasn't a ton he really delved into in terms of policy.
You could really hear a lot of the Democrats expressing their annoyance at the fact that he didn't give more specific answers to some of their questions on policy. But one thing that he did get very specific on was immigration reform. One of the biggest divisive points of this speech was his four-pillar immigration reform plan. It was well fleshed out and very, very specific, unlike the rest of the policy discussion in his speech.
Right. So the big point for his immigration reform was he wanted to give, you know, some form of pathway to Dreamers, but then everything else has been talking points his campaign has talked about all along. Getting rid of family reunification, which is also known as chain migration. Another big point was finding money for that wall that he said that Mexico was going to pay for, and then ending, you know, the visa lottery program.
To say that it's, down the line and fair and square, whatever he called it, would be a stretch. I think most of the people in the audience thought differently. I think that he needs to really think also about the rhetoric that he uses.
That was Congressman Raja Krishnamoorthy of Illinois' 8th District with his reactions on the speech. Maryland Congressman John Delaney had this to say about President Trump's immigration policy.
I think the immigration part was dark and kind of dystopian. I mean, that immigration part could have come out of his kind of inauguration speech, which talked about an America that a lot of us don't recognize.
So. Some of the Maryland representatives, for instance, actually brought undocumented individuals or people here in America under temporary protective status as their guests to the speech, and that was something that they did to push back against President Trump and his administration a little bit.
Yeah, and the big deal with TPS, or temporary protected status, is that a couple of weeks into the new year, President Trump and the Department of Homeland Security said, you know what, anyone from El Salvador who had temporary protected status, that's getting rescinded in 2019. And Jamie Raskin's guest is someone who is receiving temporary protected status.
Another Maryland representative, Steny Hoyer, brought Dreamer Gabriela Hernandez as his guest.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Obviously, the Democrats have been fighting to try and get Dreamers, you know, a path to citizenship. They shut down the government over it. We might get another shutdown in the coming weeks over it. But it's something that Trump, in the State of the Union address, said that he wanted to try and find a way to fix. You know, trying to hand the Dems some form of olive branch. So we'll see if that happens in the upcoming week. On the Republican side, they all seemed, you know, overjoyed with the fact that this is what they got from Trump.
David Young, Iowa's 3rd Congressional District. I thought he gave a pretty solid speech. I thought it was important that he talked about his first year, successes, challenges, and that being really taking on ISIS, the war on terrorism.
And you can actually read up on all that in our piece on cnsmaryland.org on the State of the Union that we collaborated with Julia Werner, Abby Wallish, and Hannah Yasharoff on. It was a huge team effort, so we hope you enjoy it. From the State of the Union, you might have noticed one very important thing. After it was completed, on a hot microphone, Trump said that even though, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders had said that they might not release the Nunes memo to the public, Trump said 100% that they would.
The Nunes memo essentially contains a lot of information about the Russia probe, and the Republicans, specifically Trump's administration, releasing this shows that they're confident in the fact that there is conspiracy or corruption in the FBI's investigation.
The primary purpose of this memo was to update on significant facts relating to the committee's ongoing investigation into the Department of Justice and Federal Bureau of Investigation and the use of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act during the 2016 presidential election cycle. The memo primarily focuses on Carter Page, who was a foreign policy advisor to Donald Trump that had strong business ties to Russia and also traveled to Russia.
The Democrats are claiming that the Nunes memo is not only inaccurate, but has also been edited after it was approved in committee.
I'm sure more information on the memo will come out throughout the weekend, so stay tuned.
Now we're going to shift on into sports a little bit. First things first, the Wizards.
Yeah, so as many of you know, John Wall had arthroscopic surgery on his left knee, and he'll be out 6 to 8 weeks, first reported and wrote by Candace Buckner of the Washington Post.
The Wizards are really going to have to start looking to All-Star Bradley Beal and some of the other players to pick up the slack and try and not lose their footing in John Wall's absence, and it'll be important to look at them going forward.
Yeah, currently they're in a playoff position. They're in fifth place, but it's a pretty tight race, and one of the things that the Wizards have been this year is inconsistent. They'll play a really good game, and they can hang with the top teams in the league, and then they'll drop a game that you watch it, and you know that they've got to win. So it'll be interesting to see if they can finagle a way to have some consistency throughout this 6 to 8 week stretch. And if they don't, it'll be weird to see as well. You can read a little bit about that in Juan Herrera's review of the Wizards and John's knee surgery on cnsmaryland.org.
Up next, DC United.
Juan Herrera's been busy, man. He also released a piece on DC United's topping off ceremony. Now, for people who don't know what that is, the final steel beam was placed into Audi Field, the new stadium.
The stadium is set to open on July 14th, and so far there are no reports of delays, which is unheard of for a construction project in the district.
And one cool aspect of this year's topping off ceremony was that the fans got to sign it beforehand. There's some really cool pictures that Juan took of a fan signing the steel beam. Lots of Vamos United, so that DC United spirit from the fans is going straight into the building, be baked right on in. We got to speak to Lindsay Simpson, who is the comms director for DC United. She said fans have, you know, they've been waiting 22 years, to have a stadium to call their own. And remember, they used to share RFK Stadium with a bunch of different teams. They shared it with the Washington football team. They've shared it with the Nationals before the Nationals had Nats Park. I went to a game a year ago where the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team played France in a friendly. So they've shared this field with everyone, yeah. Getting some place to call their own. It'll be interesting to see. For this week's Behind the Bureau, I'm talking to Hannah Yashiroff. Hi, Hannah.
Hi.
She and Abby Wallace wrote a piece on John Delaney's ad buy in Iowa. So for people who don't know, who is John Delaney?
John Delaney is a congressman from Potomac, Maryland. He's a Democrat. He's been in the House for about 5 years now. And a lot of the issues that he focuses on include healthcare reform, reducing obstacles for small businesses and startups. On Wednesday, he spoke at a press conference. Democrats are starting a task force to reform the country's infrastructure for long term. So those are kind of some of his major points.
Yeah. So the big deal here is that he's buying these ads because he's running for president. Why is that? It's pretty early. It's 2018.
You know, I've announced I'm in early, and I want to start introducing myself to the voters.
It is early. President Trump has actually already launched his campaign, so he's not the first, but he is the first Democrat. We talked to David Yepsen, who's a veteran political journalist in Iowa, and he stressed the importance of, particularly in Iowa, getting your name out early. So the Iowa caucuses are it's the first chance the country gets to vote for the next president. So that's almost exactly 2 years from now. So for Delaney, his main struggle in this campaign will be getting his name out and making sure that he's known. And so Iowa is a great way to do that.
Fantastic. And talk to me about this ad that he's producing. It's called Dirty Word. Please explain.
It's called Dirty Word. The dirty word is bipartisanship. So the ad ends with, it might be a dirty word in Washington, but it seems to be awfully refreshing right here in Iowa. So clear push for bipartisanship. Iowa kind of can, you know, teeter the line between parties. So, he's, you know, looking to get out and be known.
Yeah. And this isn't the first time he's gone to Iowa.
I've done 6 trips already.
He's there yesterday and today, Thursday and Friday, and making stops all over to meet people and fundraise.
Yeah. Do we know how much money he's fundraised?
We don't. I can tell you that the ad campaign, so the Super Bowl ad starts, kicks off a 4-week push, and they're spending, his campaign said they're spending $1 million on that.
$1 million?
$1 million. For 2 years from the election.
I mean, you heard it here first. Super Bowl ad runtime is how long? 30 seconds? $1 million for 30-second ad buy. Yep. So it's Hannah Yashiroff. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
You can find her and Abby Wallace's piece on John Delaney's Iowa ad, Dirty Word, on our site, cnsmaryland.org.
That's it this week from us here at the DC Bureau and the Washington Bullpen.
You can find all of our work on cnsmaryland.org. I'm Julie Caron.
And I'm Jared Golub. Be sure to tune in next week and go listen to the Annapolis Bullpen as well.